Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Romans, chapter 6. I saw in the bulletin that saying 1 through 4, but we will read 1 through 14. My mistake, I'm sorry for that. Romans 6, 1 through 14. This is the text that we will cover tonight. The letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, beginning verse 1. This is what God says in His holy word. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like this, like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we read your scripture, and we come before you asking for the work of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand and to change our hearts according to your scripture. Help us to see the greatness of our God and help us to kill sin, to be more like Jesus Christ and less like ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We will also cover two questions in Lord's Day 27. So please open your forms and prayer books in page 229, Lord's Day 27. Unfortunately, we will not be able to cover the whole Lord's Day. It's a big one and speaks about different things, but we will cover questions 72 and 73. So I will read the question, and I invite you to read the answer. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? Answer, no. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Question 73, why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the water of rebirth and the washing away of sins? Answer, God has good reasons for His words. To begin with, He
wants to teach us that the blood and the Spirit of Christ take away our sins, just as water removes dirt from the body. But more importantly, he wants to assure us by the divine pledge and sign that we are spiritually washed of sins spiritually, as our bodies are washed with water physically.
Thank you. This is the those are the questions that we will cover, united with the text in Romans chapter 6. And we are again dealing with the baptism, and we are dealing with the reborn or newborn in the presence of the Lord. It's very interesting because most of the texts that will speak about baptism will deal with those texts in the scripture where we see someone being baptized. However, here in Romans, we are not dealing with baptism in this way. Paul, when he wrote this letter to the Romans, he was willing to show many deep things in the faith to the Romans. They were dealing with many doubts, many doubts. They were lost in many ways. They were receiving influence from the Jews who became Christians, and they were trying to make them live as Jews, even being Christians. And they were a little bit confused in many situations. So Paul wrote this letter to answer most of the questions that not only the believers in the first century, but also many believers today still have and still need to understand. Actually, the book of Romans is one of the most difficult books to understand because of the deep content that Paul brings in this beautiful letter. And here, he will also speak about baptism. But he will speak about baptism in a different way. Here, he's trying to answer in the beginning of chapter 6 a question that arose when he spoke what we will find in verses 20 and 21 of chapter 5. And this is what the scripture says. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign to righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, a question then appear because of this. So, if sin, if increase the trespass bring more grace, brings more abounded grace, what shall we say before this reality? We should then continue to sin to receive more grace? How should we behave in a world that tells us that if we are sinners, we will receive more grace? Of course, this is not questions that are coming from the apostle. Paul was not dealing with these questions, but he knew that many believers would deal with these questions because of their foolish heart, because of their desire to sin, and because of the strange that is not in their hearts and that makes them completely lost in a world full of temptations. The lack of strength, the lack of wisdom, the lack of power of God brings believers to the presence of God, thinking that it's okay to sin because they will receive grace if they sin. Sin, then, it's a behavior who will be part of our lives. And that's the big problem for them. But then we need to deal with the answer of the apostle. And the apostle will answer this question, not only saying that by no means we should sin, expecting more grace, but he will answer that using the baptism as the perfect answer to any doubt that we could have according to the receiving of grace when we sin. Baptism is something that here will show us the power and the greatness of our Lord. It's a symbol that will bring much more than just a partake of the body of Christ in this world, but will show us the greatness of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that is what we will also find in the Heidelberg Confession. You already saw something of this last week with Pastor Vandermeer. He covered a lot of this content in his sermon. And tonight we will cover those aspects that Heidelberg is trying to call us an attention to. And the first of them is answered in verse 3. Do you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This question that Paul arises shows us that the washing with water, it's not a washing that makes the water becomes powerful to cleanses us. No, it's related. The baptism is related with the death of Jesus Christ and with his blood, with the aspect that brings for us the worst moment of our Lord in this world. His blood is the one who cleanses us. His blood is the one who washes from our sins. The water is just expressing the washing of our bodies as the blood of Jesus Christ washes from our sins. But here, Paul is using this as an example to make us understand how this is related to the abundance of grace and with those who want to live in sin. So, let's take a look on this. Do you want to live in sin? How can you live in sin if you are baptized by the name of Jesus Christ? Don't you know, this is what Paul will say, don't you know that you were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ? Don't you understand the meaning, the knowledge of this baptism, and are you not able to identify what this represents to your life? Right now, maybe many of us are making the same question, because maybe you believe that you just are baptized when you were infant, and here you are until today. Many people doesn't understand how deep is this for the church of Jesus Christ, and he will answer all these questions with the words of verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. When we were baptized, God was also doing the same thing that Jesus Christ bring for us in our lives. We were buried with him. We were with him. We went into death with him. Of course, it's not the same death. It's not physical death. But it's representing the death of the one who exists before we belong to Christ. We were possession of this word. We were part of this word, and we belonged to Satan before belonged to Jesus Christ. We were not part of the family of God. We were not part of the kingdom of God. We were completely lost in our sins, and we desperately need the power of God through the works of Jesus Christ to be cleansed. But then, through the death of Jesus Christ and through our baptism, we are also buried with Him into death. And he continues saying, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. With that, Paul is not saying that baptism has power in itself. Baptism is a sign which points to the entrance to the congregation of the saints. And of course, the baptism by itself doesn't cleanse us from our sins, as Heidelberg already said and we already read. But here he's telling us that through the sign of baptism, we are also signing to the word that we are washed by his blood and we are dead to sin and we are lived to God. It's a completely different moment in our lives. And this also represents what children have when they are baptized here. Of course, they are still in need to go through their profession of faith. But we believe in the covenant of God, and we believe that God called those children, our children, to Him. They are His inheritance. They belong to Him. They are not ours. They are not of this world. They belong to Jesus Christ, their Savior and their Lord. Of course, they need to walk by themselves and discover those truths, but we are the people of the covenant. We don't reject the covenant when we have a newborn. That's why we come to church as soon as possible and we baptize them to God, because they belong to Him. And this is what Paul was trying to show here. We are new people in the presence of God. But then we need to look and to understand deeper the meaning of those things for ourselves. Heidelberg will answer in question 73 some of these questions, because sometimes we don't understand exactly what the Scripture says about baptism, and maybe you are confused until now, until verse 4. You are still in need to understand better the meaning of the baptism. And then Heidelberg calls the attention of the fact that the Holy Spirit called baptism the water of rebirth and the washing away of sins. And we need to understand the meaning of this. And the answer will show us that God has good reason to choose these words. He chose these words because He wanted to make us understand the meaning of the baptism and the meaning of the salvation that Jesus Christ brought to His church. The begin is, it's in the answer. The begin with, He wants to teach us that the blood and the Spirit of Christ take away your sins just as water removes dirt from the body. So, this is a very good analogy to help us to understand what is happening with the blood of Christ. I was yesterday with my daughters in the park in front of the seminary, and Annie, the little one, she started to play with dirt, and she starts to eat dirt, and she starts to put dirt inside of her clothes. You know, it's a big mess. And then you realize there is nothing to do with that kid. It's completely dirty. It seems the same as the ground. So you take the girl, you go to a bath, you give her a bath. And the water goes in her body and takes away all the dirt. And suddenly she's clean again. You cannot see the dirt anymore. You cannot see anything that she had before. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ makes with the believers. We were not only marked by sin. It was not only some dirt in our hands or in our legs or in our arms. No, we were full covered with our sins. We were completely lost. And water was not enough to wash our bodies, to cleanse us from our sins. Our blood is not enough to wash us from our sins, to cleanse us from our sins. The blood of saints, the water, it's not enough to wash us from our sins. If your father or if your mother, if they are doing something good, that is not enough. If you are fulfilling the commandments, if you are following the rules, if you are going to church, this is not enough to cleanse you from your sins. We need something else. And this is the blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice, his work at the cross, the work of salvation. When the blood of Jesus Christ comes upon the believer, all the sins, they disappear. Our image is once again seen by those around us. The image of God on us is once again back to life. And we can come to the presence of a holy God, not being sinners anymore, but we come to Him completely washed by His blood. And that is why we are called saints in this word. It's interesting to see these words in the scripture. The apostles calling people of the church saints. We know they are not saints, right? So, are they not sin, committing sin? Are they not breaking the commandments? Can they be perfect in the presence of a holy God? Of course not. The apostles are calling them saints, and he's calling us saints because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are saints. Not by our work, not by what we can offer to him, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, which removes our sins from ourselves. I can't find a better example than that. And here in Heidelberg, you can understand that deeply. How can we believe that we are not saints, that we are not washed by His blood, if we are? But there is something more, and we need to understand what else we need to understand to make that real in our lives. And Paul, in the book of Romans, will help us to see what else we need. Here, in the next verses, 5 through 9, he will bring the knowledge of God to the people of God. It's interesting because in this text, 14 verses, he will speak about the knowledge of God three times to the people of God, saying, "Don't you know? Don't you understand? Are you not understanding?" Look, verse 3, "Do you not know?" Verse 3, verse 6, "We know that." Verse 9, "We know that Christ." The knowledge of God, it's very important to the people of God. Sometimes we are here being believers, but we don't understand perfectly the meaning of those things, the meaning of what God is doing for His people and what He made for ourselves. And this is what Paul is telling to the Romans. Pay attention. Don't you know that Jesus Christ completely saved you from our sins? And he will continue in verses 5 to 9 to 10, telling them this truth. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know, verse 6, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would not longer be enslaved to sin. Don't you know that? Don't you know that you are not the same anymore? Don't you know that you are not the old person that once lived in your body, but now you are a newborn in Jesus Christ to live a life to Him? Don't you know? Don't you know what the works of Jesus Christ made with you? You are not enslaved to sin. This is a wonderful statement. And this represents perfectly the wash of our bodies, the wash of our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not slaves. We are free from slavery. We are completely free to serve God properly. Then, we need to pay attention to this. I will use an example to help you to understand how dangerous can be if you don't understand this truth. If you take a trip today to Florida, for example, by car, by plane is too easy, by car, you will fix your car and you will take a long road. I don't know how many hours, maybe 1 or 2 days, but you will be driving for a long time. If you go and come back and one of your tire had problem during the trip, you say that was a good trip, right? Just once, one problem, I stop the car, I change my tire, and I keep traveling, so this is good. But can you imagine a trip in which in every mile you need to change your tire? It's a crazy trip, right? We should not use a mile. Let's say in every 50 miles, you need to change your tire. It will be a terrible trip, right? You'll probably drive for 4 or 5 days. You will be completely lost at the end, like without strength. You will be complaining everywhere. That's how we should live with our sins. It's the good example. It can happen that here and there, in 5,000 miles, you commit one sin. Okay, it's not okay, actually, but it can happen. But if in every 50 miles you are committing a sin, that's terrible. That is not representing a life washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not okay to live with sins being present in our life every day long and in every hour of our days. It's not okay to accept, to respect these sins and live with them as they are normal for us. This is not normal, because look to what we are seeing here, and Heidelberg is trying to show us again. We have our sins removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not okay for a believer to live like a slave. We are not called for that. And this is what Paul is trying to tell to the Romans. You cannot live like that. You are not allowed to let sin take control of your body anymore. Because your body doesn't belong to you. Your body was washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by baptism you were receiving the kingdom of God, and now you should walk as a believer, as a saint. If you commit one sin, repent and change, but you are not allowed to live with this. It's tragic when believers live with their sins. First of all, their conscience will never rest. Because if someone appears when we commit sin, it's the devil. It's interesting, because when we commit a sin, Luther was the one who spoke a lot about this, because he said that when he commit a sin, it's like every sin in his life just came coming back to his mind, and he knew it, that he was completely lost. And then, if you study his life, you see that he was always fighting with the devil. It's not a real fight. He just realized that this was the devil speaking to his mind, saying, you don't deserve the love of Jesus Christ. You don't deserve to be part of the church of Jesus Christ, because you are a sinner. Look how terrible you are. Look how you are. You are living your life. You are nothing to God. God doesn't love you. God hates you. And he keep listening to these things in his mind, and he was fighting with Satan because he was rejecting these truths, saying, if the scripture says that I am washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I belong to him, and nothing can take me from his hand. This is the word of the Spirit of God. This is the word of God. But if we live in sin, you will not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will listen to the voice of this word and the voice of the devil in your own voice, and you will not find rest in your way. That is why Romans continues speaking about how should we live them, being baptized, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In verse 11 through 14, we'll speak about that, and we'll call us to consider those truths. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, as your members to God, as instruments for righteousness. So if we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we should be dead to sin and we should live to God. And to do this, we should not obey our possessions. We should not use our members to sin, to unrighteousness. We should not live our lives to ourselves. We should do exactly the contrary of those things. And you are called to do what is right. You have everything you need to do that, to make that happen. It's possible for believers washed by the blood of Jesus Christ to use their members to glorify the name of the Lord. To use our hands, to use our arms, to use our strength, to use our brain to the glory of God and not to commit sin and to bring shame to the name of our Lord. Use your body to Christ. Use your thoughts to Christ. Everything you have, give to Him. Remember, He saved you from your sins. You were a slave, but now you are free with Him. Serve Him. Serve Him. Use your time to Him. Use your money to Him. Use everything you have to Him. Live to God. It's interesting because all of this is connected to baptism. Baptism. We want to be baptized when we come to God. And we want to see our kids being baptized when they come to God. But that's all sometimes. We don't want to go further. We don't want to make, for example, our kids grow in the presence of God. We give to them everything else. All the knowledge, all the education in this world. They speak Latin, Dutch, Spanish, not Portuguese probably, but many languages. And they don't know how what is happening in the scripture. If someone speaks about Abraham, they will be confused. If they speak about Peter, they will not know what he made or what he wrote. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to worship the Lord. They don't know the songs in the church. They don't know anything, but they can do a lot of other things. This is not making baptism present in the life of your child. And of course, this is not making your baptism being something important to you. If you live a life just working and living to yourself, you are not honoring the one who washed you from your sins. But we are called to give our lives to Christ, to worship Him completely with everything we have. So what to do? Using this word, what to do, thinking about those truths. Live a life to Christ. That's the only answer. I don't know if we will have much more time to live like we are living right now. It seems persecution is growing everywhere. It seems we will not be so safe anymore. I can say that because in many countries today, Christians who had freedom a few years ago, they are not free anymore. And I don't think the United States will be the only one who will not face trials in the future. Satan is trying to destroy the church. He's trying to make us stop to speak about the truth of God. He's trying to threat us in many different ways. And sometimes we are embracing those threats and we are loving this world more than we love God. But know that you are baptized to live a life to Jesus Christ. He saved you from your sins, and He's calling you to live to Him. Let's pray. Let's call His help for ourselves. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, because we are here as the people of God called to attend in this congregation. Thank You for the benefits of our baptism. Thank You for washing us from our sins through Your blood. Thank You, God, because today we are here because You found ourselves and You gave us life through the works of Jesus Christ. But now, God, we want to confess our faith on You, asking that may You can change our hearts completely. And may, God, we will walk as saints in this world, as we are called saints in this world. We will decide through the works of the Holy Spirit and hearing the voice of God to not commit sin and to make war against sin in our lives. Please, God, bless us and give us what we need to face the trials of sin, the temptations who are around us every day. Help us to be stand in the Word of God, in Your commandments, shining the light of Christ to this world and honoring You with our lives and with our decisions. Please, God, change us completely and help us to show the love of God first to ourselves and then to the others. We pray in Jesus' name.